solo adventure awaits you.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
We love adventure. We love exotic locales. We love solo travel. But there is a practical consideration. Travel costs money, and a budget can help solo travelers get the most out of their finances on any excursion. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien, and on this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to do her level best to turn us all into master travel budgeters. Astrid, is having a budget a necessary evil?
Catherine, just the word budget conjures up negativity. But really, when it comes to solo travel, I believe budgets are a must-do to protect yourself really from overspending or embarking on a trip that you really can't afford. You know, most trips start with a dream. You think, oh, I want to see the pyramids in Egypt. I want to understand the ancient Egyptian culture, etc. But really, before you can start to seriously plan, you need to figure out, can I afford this? The budgeting process is the first roadmap to kind of give you an idea realistically what something will cost. So you can call it evil or, you know, nobody likes to do it, but really to have a budget is part of being a smart solo traveler. And when you travel solo, you have to think the buck really does stop with you. And that's the way I view it. You know, I have nobody else to pay for anything but me. So I want to make sure that I have enough money in case there's an emergency or there's something I really want to buy, or just to not come home with big credit card debt. So yes, budgeting is a very wise practice for the solo traveler.
Now, listeners may know, and certainly they will know after this show, that affordable luxury is really your niche. So how do you define affordable luxury?
Well, it's really an oxymoron, the two words, the phrase, but I categorize it basically as exclusivity that is accessible. So, you know, in solo travel, it means staying in distinctive boutique four-star hotels or five-star hotels. Maybe not the most expensive, but really nice hotels. Eating great food, whether it's farm to table or ethnic food or a Michelin star restaurant, being able to sample the different types of quality food when you're traveling. It means you can do unique travel experiences, not just your typical sightseeing experiences. I'm getting ready to go to Paris in the fall. Two other ladies, solo travelers, and I are going, and we're going to focus on fashion. And some of the things we want to do, and one of the reasons why we decided to go, is there is a beautiful Dior exhibition now in Paris, 70 years of Dior fashion. And I have read several articles about it and seen photographs, and it is beautiful. Anybody who loves clothes and loves to, you know, be fashionable, of course, Paris and New York is the nexus of it. Los Angeles is pretty good too, but Paris, whew. So we've decided to do that. We're going to go on a Coco Chanel walking tour. We're going to, of course, see the Dior exhibit. We're going to go to the brand new Yves Saint Laurent Museum and the Louis Vuitton Museum. We want to get a makeover. We are all over
a certain age.
Yes. And we want to, there's a style called Bobo, which is bohemian bourgeoisie or bourgeoisie bohemian. And it's kind of a high-low look, casual, as well as throwing in maybe some expensive pieces. But the Parisians do it the best. And they actually have stylists that you can engage. So we want to do One day of a makeover with a stylist, hair, makeup, everything. So, you know, the whole trip is kind of focused on experiencing fashion and, of course, food, too. We're going to do a Michelin food tour. That's one of the things. But to come back refreshed and kind of, you know, hopefully getting our mojo really clicking again. So, but you have to have money to do this. So, you know, I've prepared basically a budget, and I'm going to go into that later on in the show. But, you know, affordable luxury to do different things, things that are unique and something that you really would want to do or would be enriching, etc., it costs money. So you need to put the pen to the paper. Now, in terms of how I categorize this money-wise, affordable luxury travelers really are comfortable with spending anywhere between $500 and $1,000 a day. And that's for everything. That includes your flight, your transportation, your hotel cost, your shopping, sightseeing, entertainment, etc. So, you know, this is where I focus in. I'm not backpacking or focusing so much on that, even though I do watch cost across the board. But it's definitely not, you know, Learjets or real exclusive travel where you have butler service and that kind of thing. But it's a nice level of travel, and you can do it if you manage your money and you plan wisely, and it's great. That, and I've been doing it for a long time, and I guess that's one of the reasons why my website has evolved, and I've been sharing my ideas now for the last almost 2 years. But I really consider it, bottom line, it's just a travel style. Mm. It's, you know, luxury travel that is attainable, that gratifies your desire for self-indulgence. That's what I consider affordable luxury.
Nice. That sounds really good. Well, and I like that you identified it as a style, because that makes it clear that this is just one style, and that really the principles you're going to be talking about, anybody can apply to their own personal situation and the style they're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. The budget that I'm going to go on, the elements of the budget in planning for any trip, you know, you can use for family travel, you can use for, you know, low budget travel, any kind of travel, really.
Yeah. So let's get right to it. Walk us through how you budget for a trip.
Okay, well, I'm going to use my upcoming Paris trip as an example. I have my group of three, two other ladies. We're a group of three right now, but we might have some more because we've been talking about it. But I shot out a figure when we first started talking. Let's try to make it happen for $6,500, $6,500, 9 days, okay? So the $6,500 target number is roughly at $722 a day. So that's in my sweet spot between $500 and $1,000 a day, okay? But, you know, since your flight to and from Louisiana is going to be two of the days, we're really only looking at, once we pay for our hotel and our flight, 7 days of daily cost. So how I always do is I start with my target maximum number. As I said, then I go and I really research hard for the flight and the hotel cost. And you need to bundle these because you really do save money. You know, Expedia is a great platform. Typically, you know, you can save at least $600 when you bundle something. Yes, it makes a big difference. But for this particular trip, We all settled in on, we were going to go premium economy Air France. We were going to fly Delta to Atlanta and then premium economy to Paris. I usually fly business class, but at this time of year in November, around Thanksgiving, the flights had already really gotten up pretty high. But premium economy was still in the right zone. And Air France, oh my gosh, I love Air France. But Air France premium economy, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos. I've been in the aircraft. flying business class, and I've seen the section. I mean, you get wine. It's a nice flight, and it's not that far. So we decided we would do premium economy, and we settled in on the Hotel Regina, which is a beautiful 5-star hotel in Paris, very well located to most of the things that we want to do, and that came to be $3,850 for the flight and the 8 nights at the Hotel Regina. So what I do is I plug in at the bottom of the budget sheet, $6,500, and I start basically putting in the different costs. The flight cost and the hotel, $3,850. That leaves me $2,650 to allocate for my 7 days. So that comes to $378.50 a day that I can spend. So then, like I said, I get out my trip budget sheet, and what I call the Astrid Solo Travel Advisor Trip Budget Guide. If you go to my website and just in the search button or search place put budgeting, I have a whole blog on trip budgeting, and you'll see the basic budget that I have. You'll also see a daily expense sheet that you can bring. So you can download it and make a copy of it and use it basically as your template.
And I'll make sure to put the link in the show notes, so when you're looking at this episode, you can just click right there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this particular budget is broken down into 6 major categories. You have your pre-trip expenses, your transportation expenses, lodging, food and drink, entertainment, and miscellaneous. And, you know, I have totals for each one of those categories. Now, within the categories, you have specific expenditures, like for pre-trip expenditures, you've got your travel insurance, you've got your visa cost, or if you have to update your passport or get a new passport, any immunizations or medications that you would need prior to a trip. If you're going on a safari, you're going to have to go to the doctor, you're going to have to get a checkup, you're going to have to make sure your immunizations are up to date, have records of that, and, you know, any other medications you want to bring, as, you know, anti-upset stomach and antibiotics or whatever. And then also you might want to buy some clothes or specific gear. So you have a whole section of pre-trip expenditures. You know, the same thing with food and drink. I break it down into, you know, basically coffee and going to, you know, say, a wine bar, and you'll see it. I mean, I'm not going to waste our time going through everything. But the budget is pretty basic, but it's got enough categories so you can really think about what you want to spend where, okay? So I begin to fill in all these blanks, and this can tell you basically whether you should go or not. Is this going to be more than $6,500? Or can I make it happen? Or if I want to go and it's going to be more, how am I going to save? Because that's another good thing. If you know that you're going to want to spend $4,000 shopping, you want to blow it out or do something bizarre, you might want to start saving $500-$700 a month towards being able to shop till you drop, or getting that great Louis Vuitton purse or whatever you want, you know, that you think is distinctive. Say, you know, we're going to Paris. So that helps you a lot, really start to focus. So to date, my Paris budget is looking like this. $250 for travel insurance, $3,850 for airfare and hotel. And what I do in the budget, because I have a separate line for airfare and a separate line for hotel, I'll just split that in half.
Oh, I see.
You know, I want, so I'll have something in each one of those blanks. Then the transportation to and from the hotel, because there are 3 of us, we're going to split it 3 ways, so I just put $75 in there. Taxi, Uber, subway, we're going to be walking a lot. We might take the subway to a couple of places that are a little bit further out from our hotel. and maybe an Uber, a two, or a taxi. So I only put $50 in there because we're going to be splitting it three ways. Food and drink, I put $700. That might be a little bit on the shy side, but we're going to be doing more than eating. Our meals are probably going to be, the expenditures will probably be more at night than it will be during the day.
Like dinner is going to be your more.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then tours, sightseeing, and museums, I have $500, which is might be a little bit slack on that too. But that basically came up to a total of $5,425 a day. That has left me with $1,075, or basically $1,100 left over for shopping, miscellaneous indulgences. So I have some wiggle room in there with the food and drink and the tours, etc. I particularly don't need to do that much shopping in Paris because I have a lot of things, you know, but I'll probably buy one or two things just because I love to shop.
Well, and then fashion is the focus of this trip, right?
Yeah. So. But this figure, basically $1,100, comes up to roughly $150 a day that you can blow. So that's your wiggle room. And that's about 15% of your budget. And that's really anybody who does trip budgeting, that's really how much people usually spend on shopping or, you know, kind of a miscellaneous indulgence is about 15%. So I'm right. You know, I'm right in where it should be. So what I'll do is when I'm there, is, you know, I will know that 375, 378, $380 a day is really all I should be spending. So if I overindulge, I'll have to pull back the next day or two to bring me back into balance. But that's, you know, that's just an easy way to keep focused. And what I do is every night, I'll just quickly, takes me 5 minutes because I keep all my receipts together. I usually have a little envelope that I take out, and then I come back at night and bring it and put them all together with a paper clip and just write it down in my journal, add it up, and see where I stand. And I kind of try to keep it in my head actually during the day, but I do that. And the more you do that, I promise you, it works like magic. You'll just be much more in control of where your money's going. Hmm. So that's kind of the concept of it. I start with a maximum figure. I look for the biggest expense, the hotel and the flight. I put that in, subtract that out, find out what I have left over. Then I divide that by the days that I'll really be, you know, on the ground, and I'll know what I can spend per day.
I know we were talking a little bit before the mics got hot about it's not just about finding a cheap fare and a good hotel. I mean, you're really kind of robbing yourself of the overall trip experience if you're not thinking about all these other expenses.
Oh, no. Now, if I would have done this just by myself, I might could have saved another $800,000 a day in a hotel. Mm. But because these two other ladies, I know them very well, they're very sophisticated, and we just wanted to make this a really great girls' trip. So we didn't want to skimp on the hotel. We didn't go the Ritz. Or La Maurice.
I'm sorry, suddenly the Ritz is skimping?
No, we didn't go that expensive, but we went 5-star, and this is a beautiful hotel.
Yeah, sure. What tips do you have, your famous Astrid tips, what tips do you have for listeners to stay on budget when they're traveling?
Okay, first and foremost, prepare a paper budget every time. I mean, you know, if you're tech savvy and you have it in your computer, your iPhone, there are apps and everything. I'm not there yet. I like to have my pencil and paper so I can erase and change. But the more you think about it and the more detail you put in the budget, the better. And really, the more you do it, the better you're going to be at not wasting money. And like I said, there's something magical about putting things pen to paper, whether it's goals, personal goals, or to-do list, or whatever. There's something about it that you end up doing it or getting very close to it. I know when I went around the world, I went around the world solo for 5 weeks. I set a budget of $32,000. Now, I flew business class everywhere except in the United States. I flew JetBlue and Southwest. But I went to 7 different destinations. I stayed in 5-star hotels everywhere I went. Now, I picked my cities strategically. I went to strategic cities that really are very affordable and had a lot to do, so that helped keep my budget or the cost down rather than going to, you know, New York and Paris and that. I chose Lisbon, Marrakesh, Hanoi, Bangkok, you know, some. But they were all great destinations. But magic, I came in at $32,000, I think it was $620. I went $600 over, wow. But I had a little mishap, and I won't go into it on this show because I want to do a whole show about when things go haywire. But because I had that budget, when I had to make an adjustment, I knew exactly how much I had to eat, as well as how I needed to tighten up, and it worked like magic. It's really great. So that's the first thing. Second thing is set a total target amount you're willing to spend. You know, just decide, I want to go to Marrakesh and I want to do it for $3,000, and start filling in that budget and see if you can make it. But basically, once you decide you're going to do it, be determined not to go over that amount. Because if you're determined not to go over the amount, you're much less likely to do it. And if something goes wrong, there's something magical. I hate to sound kind of goofy about this, but if you have it, it's kind of like it helps you stay within the parameters of the budget. So set a total amount that you're not willing to go over. Then you have to develop what I call a splurge skimp mentality. And this is one of the keys to why I'm always looking for affordable luxury, because I have a tendency to splurge shopping. I love to shop. I'm a very visual person. I love fashion. I love beautiful things. I love life. So shopping, I can get in a lot of trouble. So I have developed this kind of personality where if I splurge, then I don't feel good about it if the next day I splurge another day. So I'm one of these people. If I splurge, I'll pull back the next 2 or 3 days, like I said, to get me back in balance to that target daily amount that I have. So I'll skip the nice dinners. And, you know, I might look for a food truck or a little small mom-and-pop restaurant. Drink more coffee, have soup. You know, I'll watch my food cost. I'll watch any other cost, whether, you know, I take a free walking tour. There are some great walking tours now that are actually free that graduate students offer or whatever. Or I'll decide to spend a day in a park and rent a bicycle. I'll do things that are not costly, that I will enjoy, because I love gardens and parks and that kind of thing. So you'll know that when you do that, if you skimp, like I said, with this splurge skimp mentality, you'll pull it back in, and your trip won't be blown. So that's very important. Have that mentality with everything you do. Okay. Then keep that daily tally of expenditures. It's really not hard. It doesn't take very much time. It's a habit, really. But you got to stay organized. So those receipts that you have for that day, just put it in a little envelope. And then when you get back to the hotel, take 5 minutes, write it down. Even if you don't want to categorize it, food, whatever, just tally it up and see, well, did I blow it today? Or was I a good girl? Or whatever. So you'll know if tomorrow could be a splurge or a skip. Okay, the next one is, as I said earlier, bundle your airfare and hotel at, try to do this every time. And I must say, Expedia is great for this. Kayak is very good for this too. And Momondo is very good for this. So I try to always do that because you can really save some money doing that. Sixth is get a credit card that has no or minimum currency exchange fees. This is very important because you can get nickeled and dimed with that kind of thing. And Chase has some good cards this way. I have a Chase Sapphire Preferred, and I never pay any kind of currency exchange fees. So those fees can mount up.
I was going to say, they're not nickel and dime. It's quarters and dollars.
Yeah, it does. And it depends on if the dollar is fluctuating and, you know, the dollar is going down now. And so that's more of a concern. So I always suggest get one of those cards and use it. Use it everywhere you can, to tell you the truth. The next thing is pay in local currency. A lot of times vendors will ask you, do you want to pay in our currency or U.S. dollar? Always say their currency because it's cheaper. And then try to put those purchases on one of these no-fee currency exchange cards. That will save you some money. Okay, then eight is do extensive research on what it will cost to do the things you want to do. This takes time, but you really need to do that. If you want to do specialty tours, like we want to do a perfume tour and make our own scent. Now, there's several tours that you can do it, and they range from $35 to $150, or maybe, I think one was $170. So we're going to have to decide which one that we want to do, how much we want. But once we know all those different costs for the perfume tour, the makeover, we know we're going to spend a lot on the makeover, but we're going to try to find the right person to do it. But we're going to have to know all those costs so we can be realistic when we're there, and we might have to cut something out, you know, if it's going to, you know, really blow money. So do your research on that and just start writing it all down, and then look at what I definitely want to do, my must-dos, plug that in, and then have a few things that, you know, maybe if you end up not getting to do that, you have something else that you can do. But try to ballpark those costs because they can also mount up too quick. And then next, be flexible. This is like, you know, with the splurge, a skimp mentality. But, you know, if you want to go somewhere and it looks like it's going to be too expensive, look at going there at another time during the off season or maybe even the low season. I know when I've gone to Russia, I've been there a couple of times in the low season in the winter. And the cost of everything is dramatically cheaper in the winter than in the summer. A hotel room, 5-star, fabulous hotel, costs you $125 in the winter. In the summer, it's a minimum of $380, right at $400. So that's $85 versus $875 versus $2,660 basically for a week trip there, or 7 days. Now that can make or break a trip. I mean, that's you know, you're saving basically, if you go in the winter, almost $1,800 on the hotel. So be flexible in your dates if you can. then your food costs can mount up easy, especially if you're a foodie and you really want to go to fine, fine restaurants. The cost of the wine and all the different things, you know, in the different courses, that can mount up. So you need to be kind of willing to try different things. I mean, even some food truck food I have eaten around the world has been fantastic. Now, I'm very careful with it. I'm not a big street food eater, but if I look at the crowd and there are a lot of people that, you know, I think, oh, well, they know what they're doing. There's a lot of people that are eating here. That's usually the sign. If a lot of people are eating at a street vendor or a food truck, you know something good is going on there. So that can kind of, give you a little bit of a comfort. You know, I'm always very concerned I'm going to get some kind of stomach bug or I'm going to get sick on it on one of my solo tours or trips. So I'm very careful with what I eat. But if you have to pull back on the food, you do it. But I typically do it with soup and a glass of wine, or if I really want to pull back, I'll go buy a bottle of wine at a grocery store somewhere and then, you know, have a glass or two at night on the balcony of my hotel room, etc. So, but, you know, if you think like that, you'll be flexible. Also, you know, try to get your breakfast included in the hotel. Lots of them have that. And if you eat a big breakfast, you really don't need a big lunch. You can skip on the lunch. So that's a good thing. Then also, again, set that target amount for miscellaneous shopping or whatever. So if your total budget is, say, $10,000 for a trip, no more than $1,500, 15% for the shopping miscellaneous. So, and then figure out what that could be every day so you'll know exactly, did I go over today, or, you know, hopefully you didn't spend anything one day and then you have double the next day. But try to stick to this, because let me tell you, that's where you can really get yourself in trouble. Then 10, don't skip on the important items. Do not. I mean, quality 4-star or 5-star hotels, I think, are very important for the solo traveler. First and foremost, for safety reasons. There are a lot of, you know, safety systems and procedures that these types of hotels have, and you want that. And you want to be located in a good location. Typically, if you're in a good location, obviously, it's usually more safe. And then, you know, it's more walkable to the things that you want to go to. And just being able to walk can save you money on transportation cost. Also, they have usually great concierges or concierges that can help you discern whether you should do that or this, or tell you if this is too expensive or this is not quality or whatever. So do not skimp on your hotel. I really think that this is important, especially if you're going affordable luxury and you want it to be an exclusive experience. It's part of the trip. Then don't really travel insurance now is to me a must. If you're traveling outside of the United States, a lot of people do it in the U.S. even now. I haven't gotten there yet, but every time I leave the United States, I do, because first of all, it's very reasonable in cost. And it's easy to miss a flight connection now. You know, the airlines and how they operate, you never know, especially in different countries. And you have to go with the flow. If something happens, you just cannot worry about it. But if you have travel insurance, you can make the claim and get reimbursed. So you're not out, you know, all this money. Then if you have a health incident, or say you have a bad accident, you're in a traffic accident or something, if you have this insurance, especially if you have the best policies and you really get hurt, they'll air vac you back to the United States, you know, in a small jet and get you home and get you stabilized or, you know, to where you feel comfortable. So travel insurance now, and it's, some of them even have for political unrest, they'll fly you out. Yeah, it's getting that good. So do not skimp on these important items. And on your transportation costs, too. If you're going to a place that you've never been to and you have any kind of reservation about safety, have transportation from the hotel already arranged when you land to get you to the hotel. That way you know that you're going to be transported, you know, the hotel has arranged it for you. They're basically responsible for getting you there safe. And it's wonderful because you've got somebody waiting at the airport to help you with your bags, and you're not worried about, do I get in this cab or, you know, take this bus into the city or the subway, you know, the mass transit. When you're first getting to a completely unknown place, it takes a while to get over and be real comfortable. So I always suggest don't skimp on that, you know, unless you're familiar with the place and you know how to do it. Okay, then 11 is book your hotel and flight at a minimum of 90 days before your trip. That is really the sweet spot, I think. Earlier the better, even before that, but after that, it just, the prices creep up. And another thing, do not research, whatever computer you're researching the trip on, on the various sites, Kayak, Mambando, Expedia, Hotels.com, you know, Booking.com, whatever, they have so many cookies. Every time you go back in, those prices will go up. So the computer you use to book all this, it's got to be different than the one you've done your research on. So I always go to, you know, one of my relatives' computer, and that's what I book it on. I do the research on my own, but you beware of that because of cookies. Now, I'm not that tech savvy, but I know you can
clear the cookies. Yeah,
yeah, you can do that, and they have something called DuckDuckGo, and there are other things that you can put in that keeps the tracing or blocks the tracing. But I haven't gotten that there yet.
A future episode. We'll
yeah,
cover that.
I will though, and then. Last is do a final tally when you get home. On my budget sheet, you have estimated cost, and then you have the actual cost, just like a real budget. And I always love to do this. I know this sounds weird, and I'm not really somebody who likes to budget, but I've always liked algebra, so I kind of like solving for X and see if I stayed within my target, you know, amount, etc. But do this when you get home to see how good you did, because the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. And what I always like to do is on long flights home, I look at everything and I have my little budget and I'll start filling it in, and I'll know before I get home typically if I did go over and I just made the decision to do it, and, you know, how I'm going to handle this with my credit cards the next couple of months. But it's pretty good in terms of, you know, really staying with your target. When you see the actual amount, I think that most often, if you keep up with this on a daily basis, you're going to be really pleased. But do that at the end, because it's all part of the exercise, and if you keep doing it, you're going to get better and better about it. So I'll end the show basically by stressing budgeting is a necessary evil for the solo traveler. It keeps your spending focused and disciplined. It helps alleviate credit card shock when you get home. And I really do think it will make you a more confident and proficient solo traveler. So, you know, go to my website and look at my blog post. The website is astridtravel.com. But look at the blog post called The Solo Traveler's Guide to Trip Budgeting, and you will see those two sheets, the big budget per trip and then the daily expenses sheet. And also, I've got a lot of tips on that particular blog. So that's the show today.
You're making us have wide open eyes as we go into our solo travel.
Well, I hope this has been something that seems easy and simple, but very important to do for the solo traveler. So that was my goal, and I try to keep everything to where it's basic, it's logical, it's easy to do, and that I can actually do.
Yeah. Well, I think that the reason people don't budget, it's kind of obvious, is like it just seems like it's going to cramp your fun or your style or whatever, but if you do it with more practice and you just go in with open eyes, those nasty surprises aren't going to happen. You're going to be able to be free to enjoy yourself more.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't like to balance their checkbook. They don't like to look at their monthly investment statements. Yeah. It just, you know, a lot of people just don't like to deal with it until it's an emergency.
Yeah. Well, somehow it's like if you don't look at it, somehow it's going to be different. But that's not true.
No, it's usually going to
be worse.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? One thing that can help you out here, packing properly can actually protect your budget. A packing list can help. You can get your own copy of Astrid's complimentary packing list. Just go to astridtravel.com, download the packing list. I mean, you're going to be there anyway getting the budgeting tools, so just go and get the packing list as well. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can find this podcast really any of the finer places that podcasts can be found, including TuneIn and iHeartRadio. We're just everywhere. Please give us a rating on any of those platforms. It helps the show, and it helps other solo travelers find this valuable information. Thank you so much for listening. Happy budgeting, and we'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.